On January 7th, in the year 1610, the well-known and famous Renaissance astronomer and scientist, I'm sure all of us have heard of, Galileo Galilei, he pointed a telescope that he had made toward the planet Jupiter. And during his observations that evening, he saw what appeared to be three stars arrayed very close to that planet. And the next night, he again saw what he called at the time three stars, along with a new one, but they each had changed position relative to each other and to the planet Jupiter. And over the course of the next week, he continued to see these stars remain in the vicinity of Jupiter while moving with it across the sky. Very quickly, he deduced that he was the first to discover such moons revolving around Jupiter. This was the long-sought evidence, he concluded, of Copernicus's revolutionary theory that the Earth, along with other planets, likewise revolve around the Sun. Now, Galileo later published his findings in several books. His writings caught the eye of the Catholic Church, which immediately condemned them as false. Not only did a sun-centered planetary system contradict many verses in the Bible, it was also in conflict with Christian theology, which believes God created humans as the center of his attention. It's why he demands human obedience and loyalty according to this theology. The earth as our home must be the center of the universe. And for people to live on a relatively minor planet revolving around the sun, this renders them insignificant. A sun-centered cosmos questions not only the truth of the Bible, but the very existence of God. And as a result, the Church's Council of Inquisition investigated Galileo, put him on trial, and in 1633, condemned him as a heretic. It said about Galileo and his observations, quote, "The idea that the sun is stationary is foolish and absurd in philosophy, and formally heretical, since it explicitly contradicts in many places the sense of Holy Scripture." At an advanced age, Galileo was sentenced to torture and imprisonment. And while the sentence was later reduced to house arrest, he was confined there for the remainder of his life. And all of his books were burned and banned. The Church's response to Galileo is a reminder to us this morning of what motivated the horrific events that happened on September 11th, 15 years ago today. Too many people close their minds and believe only ideas told to them by ancient texts or ministers or other external sources. Finding comfort in dogmatic certitude as opposed to thinking on their own, many people are stuck in patterns of belief that close the doors to learning and growth and discovery. And each month at my home congregation in Cincinnati, I present three messages based on a single thematic topic. And today, instead of interrupting my September message series on pathways to enlightenment, I decided to continue it for you. And I hope you might feel especially fortunate, probably not, with a message on one pathway to enlightenment through seeking. Now, last Sunday, the first of my September messages was what I believe is another path to enlightenment through serving. And I suggested that if we accept the fact that humans are not the reason the universe exists, contrary to what most religions claim, we will move beyond a mostly selfish desire to live forever in heaven and avoid its alternative. We will be more humble and thus discover our true purpose, and that is, humans have an innate desire to do good, to love, and act kindly to others. We are servants, plain and simple. But for today, I hope to suggest that seeking is also a way to become enlightened. And to seek is to be ever curious about life and the universe and why things exist. Seeking is a desire for inspiration. It's a feeling of awe at the beauty of nature. It's an embrace of change. It's a yearning to explore one's inward self. It's a hunger to continually grow. It's a willingness to dream and dare. Seekers ponder the unexplainable. They question and doubt. And they are listeners more than they are talkers. And the opposite of seeking is to have a closed mind about anything new, is to assert absolute knowledge on any subject. It's what the Catholic Church said in response to Galileo's observations, that only they and the Bible are correct. And it echoes religious fundamentalism and the hateful motivations of the September 11th hijackers 15 years ago, who believed their interpretations of truth are right and all others are to be attacked. And the 17th and 18th century age of enlightenment came too late for Galileo. It began to flower soon after his death. And Enlightenment ideals emphasized reason over superstition and science over religion. Philosophers of the time, like David Hume or Immanuel Kant or John Locke, they all advanced ideals of humanism. And that is, concerned with the well-being of people, it was and is a revolutionary belief system. Indeed, humanist and Enlightenment philosophy helped inspire the American Revolution and its assertion of inalienable human rights. Contrary to Christian doctrine that says people are the reason God created the universe, humanism is instead a humble belief. We're not the pinnacle of creation. The cosmos does not revolve around us, and neither is it designed to meet only our needs. We're not privileged creatures who deserve to live forever in heaven or anywhere else. Logic informs us we will die like all things. And since that is so, humanism leads us to see that it is we, not a god or goddess, who are to do the work of building a better world. It's we who must serve and advocate for those who hurt and who suffer. This humble awareness also informs us how to think and act. Since science tells us that we, like all things, are made of the same chemicals comprising a tree or a distant planet, we can no longer believe we are special. We can also no longer claim that any faith-based scripture is ultimate truth. Indeed, a human-centered belief system versus a religion-based one helps us to realize how inaccurate knowledge from supposedly divine revelation is. The universe and its forces of energy and gravity are far more complex and mysterious than many religions assert. The cosmos was not made in 6 days, but was instead formed over billions of years, and it continues to form. Man was not made from the dust of the ground. Woman was not fashioned from the side of man to be his mere helper. Other creatures and other life forms, including humans, did not spontaneously come into existence. Assertions found in many scriptures are pre-scientific, faith-based ideas that lack any reasonable evidence. Immanuel Kant, who, as I said, was one of the foremost Enlightenment philosophers, he said that the Age of Enlightenment was an end to humanity's immaturity that relied on scripture and external sources to tell them how and what to think. Enlightenment, Kant said, is about learning to think for oneself, to use one's own mind to examine and analyze and understand things on one's own. Dare to know is his most famous statement. We must have the courage to use our minds to arrive at a truth that's logical and honest. And that is the essence of seeking, in my mind. It's to be a skeptic about and toward any proposition that one might consider, even the idea that one should be a skeptic. Seeking is deeply rooted in humility and the awareness that we know so little. I believe that to be a seeker, one must be radically open-minded and tolerant towards all others and their beliefs. That does not mean one necessarily agrees with all other beliefs, or any belief for that matter, but rather that one endeavors to understand and listen and learn. Only then can one make reasonable, but hopefully gentle, conclusions. Seeking new awareness is also about having empathy for others. Seekers refuse to judge and instead try to figuratively walk in another's shoes. Such is a mindset, for instance, that empathizes with the racism that African Americans have historically faced. It seeks to understand ways that such humiliation has affected how black men and women feel and act and think. It seeks to understand how conditions of poverty and homelessness or addiction are the result of past and current racism. A seeker, therefore, is someone who wants to learn and wants to empathize and grow. By not judging, by seeking to instead empathize and learn, true seekers ask lots of questions. Indeed, I believe that asking the right questions is one key to enlightenment. Dogmatic answers close minds to further inquiry. Questions instead open minds to potential new realities. What purpose do humans have? Is the universe infinite? And if so, what does that mean? Are there other parallel universes? What is the value of doubt and skepticism? What is love and how can we define it? What are the legacies we can leave behind that allow us to figuratively live forever? Seekers and questioners also find greater enlightenment by detaching themselves from strong opinion or belief. By letting go of preconceived ideas, for example, about perhaps who is a friend or enemy, or who is good or bad, we can seek and perhaps discover the truth of what it means to be truly good. Enemies are not necessarily those who oppose us or people we may believe are quote-unquote bad. And friends are not necessarily ones who agree with us or people we think are good. Many of you may have heard that Mother Teresa was made a saint this past week. Despite all of the stories about her compassion for the poorest of the poor, there are also many criticisms that she lacked medical knowledge and relied on prayer as the only treatment, and thus ignored effective healing methods. Many people in her care, it said, needlessly suffered. Was she truly a saint and a good person? Or perhaps she was someone far more complicated. What I find fascinating about her, however, are recent disclosures that she lived many years in doubt about God and religion. In letters that she wrote to confidants in the 1950s, Mother Teresa seemed more like a skeptic than she did as a nun with strong beliefs. In 1959, she wrote, quote, "In my soul, I feel just that terrible pain of loss of God not wanting me, of God not being God, of God not existing," end quote. And she repeated that same sentiment many times. Clearly, she experienced a crisis of belief. And I have no idea what caused that, but I imagine it's similar to what most honest and aware people experience. Many of us have perhaps had our own dark night of the soul when we question all that gives us purpose and hope. As painful as the episodes might be, for me personally, such a time was immensely enlightening. I experienced my own dark night of the soul 12 years ago when I came out as a gay man. I finally determined to live my truth. But with that came a time of despair. Friends who had once said they loved me instead abandoned me. My belief in a loving God suddenly became irrelevant and even false. Organized spirituality in any form was something that I turned my back on, since my previous church had proven to be judgmental and hypocritical. It condemned me for revealing one small part of myself, even though I remained the same minister and same person they had once said they loved. After a year in that dark state of mind, I began to read about spirituality that is instead open and free and affirming. I became a seeker. I learned about alternative ideas and ways to interpret religion in the Bible. I eventually rejected theism and found instead belief in what I call a natural, little g, God. A God in nature and in all people. A universal force of compassion and gentleness and kindness. And that period of time led me to conclude that even what I find spiritually true now, I must still question. I still have so much to learn and ways to grow. I can still fail to do what I know is right. And I often don't practice the peace and love and humility that I do aspire to have. And I still hold unconscious prejudice in my heart. All of that means I must continue to seek and to question and to learn. It means I must still examine and meditate on all things. Ultimately, I believe we only know truth when we realize and admit that we don't know it, but that it must be continually pursued. That's a hallmark of Unitarianism, and it expresses itself in every part of our lives. Seekers are first and foremost humble. They know what they don't know. They know they are not special, nor do they have access to ultimate truth. Seeking will lead us to greater peace and gentleness and empathy and forgiveness and listening and curiosity and, as I claim, greater enlightenment. And with that, as I say every Sunday to my beloved community in Cincinnati, I wish this beloved community here in Louisville much peace and joy. And I thank you.